Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our ministry, we love teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. And we teach these biblical principles as part of our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more about ridding yourself of your debt simply by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook. Joining me, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. And the topic we'd love to discuss and the tips that we are about to share concerns garage sales. Not just any garage sale, but one at the end of the day, you would say, now that was a successful garage sale. So John and Evelyn, we all have junk, some more than others. Don't you agree?
There's no question about that.
You know, our priest always makes comments because he visits homes unexpectedly, which is always fun. He makes comments about people getting ready for the annual flea market at church. And he always says, I've seen your garages. I know you have too much junk.
Doesn't he? Just drive through the neighborhood, and a majority of the people cannot put their car in the garage, a two-car garage.
Yes, that's
because
true.
It is loaded with boxes.
Yeah. Just drive around town. Almost every other corner, there's a storage place.
Right.
Hey, you know, I did a search when we were preparing for today. I did a search and looked for storage facilities near me. And how many hits do you think I got in about nanosecond?
I don't know. How many?
172 million.
Yeah, well, there's not that many near us.
I don't think so either. but I did look into it, and there were at least 100 within 15 miles of our home.
I mean, just looking about a 5-6 mile radius in the home, how many storage facilities
yes.
there
it's
are.
It's huge.
And their new ones are being built
exactly,
all the time.
Exactly. They keep expanding. And it's funny yeah. because the homes around them are bigger.
I don't understand, especially here in Florida, is how people can store stuff if it's not humidity controlled and heat controlled. I mean, having stuff in a little box that's baking it for 5 or 6 years probably isn't a good idea, right?
Evelyn, junk is junk.
But why pay money to store that junk? It's like putting it in a little oven. So the storage business has really boomed recently because people have too much junk.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's actually a verse from Luke that kind of talks about that. It's Luke chapter 12. It says, then he said to the crowd, take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Now that story goes on with the tale of the rich fool who had a bountiful harvest, and he ended up building barns to store all of his possessions. Focus on all. And Jesus called him a rich fool because he put so much importance on his possessions. And his life was called to task that night. So just like the rich fool, so many of us are caught up in accumulating stuff. One of the best ways to rid yourself of excess stuff is to have a garage sale. And this is your specialty, Evelyn.
This is my specialty because I'm a garage sale maven. You know, garage sales, just like anything else, should not be done on the spur of the moment. And just like everything else, They run better with planning and organization. One of the first places to start is with planning, and you need to check with your city government or local government to see if you need a permit. In a lot of places, you have to have a permit to do a garage sale. And then you should figure out how to advertise your sale. Are you going to put it in the newspaper or maybe do online advertising, or are you going to hand out flyers? And it's good to take advantage of local advertising, such as a community newsletter or a homeowner's update or a community events page on your local newspaper.
You can even put something on Facebook. I know we have about three different community Facebook
neighborhood
sites.
Type things, yeah.
Around us, and people are on there all the time. In fact, I had some hurricane plywood.
That was your own personal garage sale, right?
That was my own personal garage sale. We had plywood that we've saved since 2004. Last fall, I put a note on. I decided I'm tired of saving this, and it's too heavy for me to put up anyway. And the last hurricane, we didn't put any of it up. And so I said, I'm going to get rid of it. It's just taking up space in the garage. And I put a notice on Facebook that if anybody would come pick it up, they could have it. And I had three people wanting it within the first 5 minutes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was. And the first person came and got it the next morning.
And it was gone. The garage was cleaner. The priest didn't stop by to pat us on the back, though. You know, the best way to drive major traffic to the garage sale is to pay for an ad in the local newspaper. But you need to really think about it ahead of time, because most newspaper ads charge by the word. So if you get very wordy, it's going to be expensive.
So price it up ahead of time and write it up and tweak it and then tweak it some more. And then just get it to the point where it's short and sweet and right to the point, and then list your biggest items, you know, the ones that people really want to buy. Because if you get them to come, you know, for those two or three big items, then they're going to look at everything else anyway. So that's a way to get people there.
So the most popular garage sale items seem to be furniture, kids' toys, and collectibles. Now, I'm not into collectibles, so I have no idea what the latest and greatest collectibles are, but I think
Want to buy one of Shaq's tennis shoes? Or
I think people collect anything. I mean, people collect postcards, baseball cards, depression glass, bottles.
I'll tell you a real quick story. Last month, I met my brother-in-law's. We're golfing with a friend of his, and we got talking about collectibles. And this guy, and this is a CEO of a company, he collects beer cans. So I was like, what do you mean, beer cans? He said, beer cans from all over the world.
Empty or full?
No, empty. And I said, can you make money? He said, I sold five, and he mentioned some beer. And he said, $19,000. He said, there are people that invest in everything, including beer cans. And Mike, my brother-in-law, says, Paul has a separate room in his home that's nothing but beer cans. He has thousands of them.
So Paul hasn't listened to our advice about downsizing.
No.
I don't think he has to.
I don't believe me. But I mean, to think that somebody would pay $19,000 for so many beer cans.
I can't imagine anybody having a garage full of beer cans in the recycle
bin,
maybe. But
this is inside his home.
Wow.
Climate controlled, Evelyn.
Climate controlled. Well, yes. It's empty. It doesn't matter. You know, when you're doing your ad for the newspaper, remember to include your address as well as the dates and times, because it's easy to get caught up in what the garage sale is about and forget to put in important information like that. So the next thing is to let your neighbors know that you're planning on having a garage sale, because they're going to be bothered by the traffic and all the people coming into the neighborhood, so they should be pointed out ahead of time that there's going to be some mess in the neighborhood during that time.
Well, and maybe they would like to participate. You know, if you get more people, you know, on the same street doing a garage sale, that's going to attract more people to come into the neighborhood.
In fact, I noticed that in where we live here in Florida, in a lot of subdivisions will hang a banner that they're having a community garage sale, and they'll promote it 2-3 weeks in front of the garage sale. And it, you're right. Because as someone that would love to go to garage sales, it's one-stop shopping.
And that ties into the date. It's important to pick some good dates. Most people go with Friday and Saturday mornings, but Thursday's also a popular day. Sunday's probably a semi-popular day, but I would encourage everybody to go to church, not do a garage sale on Sunday morning.
You're going to get a large crowd, especially if you start early. Let me give you a little secret. If you put down that you're starting your garage sale at 9 o'clock, and you're going to go from 9 o'clock, you're going to have people in your driveway at 7 in the morning anyway. So you might as well go ahead and start at 7.
I think those people have, like, radar when they hear that first card table being set up and drive right into the neighborhood.
They got bat sonar. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing is to pay attention to the time of year, because you don't want to have a garage sale in August in Florida. Nobody wants to be outside in August in Florida. So late spring and early summer are the best times to have a sale. And stay away from special weekends in your area. You know, if you know that there's a festival at the church, or there's a football game at the local college, or a high school festival or something like that, try to stay away from those kinds of dates.
And I noticed, too, in December, I will see a lot of, it seems to be more garage sales focused on children's toys.
In December?
In December.
Oh, that's probably a good idea for
Christmas presents. Yeah,
very good.
That's a good idea.
All right, the next thing to think about is pricing your items. And you can start that ahead of time by visiting other garage sales in your area to kind of check out the prices that they're charging for the same types of items that you're going to be selling.
Leave your pocketbook at home, though.
Yeah, so you don't want more junk to sell.
Yeah, you don't want to be going and buying more stuff.
Unless you can find the $19,000 beer can, right?
Yeah, take your credit card for that.
You know, the other thing is, when you're pricing items, it's better to price them individually. Have a sticker on each item for a price instead of just throwing items into a box and saying the whole box, everything in the box is a dollar. Because people are going to go through those boxes and get three or four boxes worth of stuff mixed up, and then you're going to have the wrong price on items. So it's
better. That makes sense.
It's better to have an individual price on every item.
Yeah.
And keep it simple. You know, you don't have to go out and buy pricing stickers or do anything real fancy. Have a piece of masking tape and just write in magic marker on the masking tape what the price is.
You mean those little stickers we've had for 15 years we can finally throw away?
Yeah, the ones that aren't sticky anymore.
So, Evelyn, you talk about doing research for pricing. Is eBay a good source that I may be able to find what this Fisher Price toy?
It probably is. I don't know if the prices would be significantly different on eBay than they would in a garage sale, because you're kind of haggling at both things. Right. And that, you know, that's a good point, Steve, though. That brings up another point, is understand your haggling process.
Right.
You know, if you're priced too high in the hopes that people are going to haggle with you, they may come in and ignore what you've got because they don't want to do that, or they may think you're just outrageously high priced and walk away from you. Some people are going to enjoy haggling and some aren't.
I see. My thought process, whatever I don't sell, I've got to tote back into the garage.
Or give away.
Or,
we'll talk
me.
About that at the end. Yeah. But it's really good to plan what you're going to do with those things that aren't sold at the end of the day and what your markdown policy is going to be. You know, are you going to mark down as you go, or are you going to wait until the end of the day and have like a fire sale an hour before the garage sale stops?
Now, some people feel that it's too much work to have a garage sale. Well, the reality of it, sorting through all the possessions, deciding what to keep, what to sell, then setting it up, then manning the stuff for most of the day on Friday and Saturday. But again, the reality of it, you will purge what you don't want and you'll make money. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching biblical principles on handling money through our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Take a look at the topics that are discussed over the 9 weeks and take a look at the practical applications that you will use that's going to help you manage your financial challenges. There's more information available at compasscatholic.org. Click on Books and Studies and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of our ministry, are with me today, and we are sharing tips on having a successful money-making garage sale. So, Evelyn, what are a few other tips for having that successful garage sale?
You know, in order to be really successful at your garage sale, you need to gather your sale items well ahead of time by going through each room, the garage, and the basement, and gather up all those unused, unneeded items. So set up a staging area where you can gather all the stuff together, because it may take you a while to actually go through closets and drawers and shelves and all that to get started as early in advance of the actual date as possible.
Pick up anything that you don't want or haven't used in months and put it in the staging area. And don't underestimate the value of what you're going to find either. people are going to buy anything from old CDs to unwanted bottles or perfume to
empty beer cans. And the worst case scenario, if something doesn't sell, is that you just have to get rid of it. So put everything out there, like old cell phone chargers or USB cables you're not using. You know, throw them in a box and see if anybody's willing to buy them.
One of the first garage sales we ever had, I used to collect, don't ask me why, matchbooks. And I must have had 1,000 matchbooks. And I put it in the garage sale in a box and sold the whole thing for $1. It was gone, like, in the first 20 minutes.
Really?
Yes, matchbooks.
Underpriced.
Should have charged $1.50.
One strike and it would have been gone. But you look back and you go, why did I collect matchbooks?
I used to collect postcards and then people quit sending them. I used to love postcards. The next step is to get organized on that day. And if you can, set up as much as possible the day before the sale. Because like John said, if you start at 9, they're going to show up at 7, and you don't want to be out in the street at 5 o'clock setting up for this thing.
So a great idea would be to set up the tables in your garage, put all the stuff on the tables, and then when you lift up the garage door, you can carry the tables out one by one, and you can have, you know, 10 tables out on the driveway in, you know, 5 minutes.
And if you're really slow, the people that are coming to buy stuff will help you carry the tables outside.
Exactly.
Love that idea.
You know, some of the ideas that I saw online were to have an extension cord for testing electronic equipment. I thought that was a great idea. And to be sure you have enough change so that you can make change when people buy things. You know, if you're selling something for $5, they have a $20, you can't make change, they're not going to buy it. You know, another procedure you need to set up is how you're going to handle the money. Are you going to have a carpenter's apron where you keep all the money and like maybe notes in your cell phone? Or you're going to set up a checkout table where people will go and somebody will add up and take the money? Or are you going to have your husband walking around and he's going to be the money person? You know, it's important to understand how you're going to do that. Otherwise, you end up with a mess. And keep the money safe. If you have lots of change or you're taking lots of money on your sales, keep the extra stuff in the house so that you don't inadvertently lose it or it doesn't get taken by some dishonest person.
You leave it sitting out and somebody just picks it up and says, oh, I'd like these. I'll bet they're free.
That's why it's so important to get organized ahead of time so you know how you're going to handle that stuff.
And here's my favorite thing, Steve. Pick your position. Get a comfortable chair and put it someplace where you can see everything that's going on. And you can talk to people as they walk up, but you're not hovering over them. You're just kind of sitting there in the shade with a nice lemonade and enjoying the hubbub.
Enjoying the fruits of your wife's labor, right?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, in an ideal world, a garage sale would work like a mall. People would come in, look at what's available, grab what they wanted, pay, and leave.
And then go out of business.
But garage sales have a tendency to be more of a social event as much as a shopping event. So people are going to ask questions, they're going to try to haggle with you, and they're going to pick through everything. So let them have their fun. Let them experience your garage sale, and don't try to act pushy or try to make the sale. You know, greet them when they walk up, and then let them go. Let them walk through it at their leisure.
I don't know, Steve. It just doesn't seem like a gala event to me.
No, trust me, I don't mind it, but I keep looking at everything that hadn't been sold, thinking, I've got to carry that back in. I swear to you, that's what I think about all day Friday and Saturday.
Take this, I'll pay you to take it. So your garage sales are the one to come to, right?
Yes.
You're haggling at the end, not over how little to charge, but how much you want to pay.
You know, I don't know if you're going to discuss this about having the children involved in the garage sale. Not that you're going to sell the children, but having them involved. Because the deal we made...
They all have price tags.
Yeah, we made a deal with our sons that they had to go through and clean out their closets, any toys or anything they wanted to sell. But they received a percentage of it that they could do anything they want to with it, but the remainder had to go into a savings account.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, it teaches the kids a lot of lessons.
Yeah, it also helped. And, you know, you also had to watch what they selected because some of the stuff you didn't want them selling.
You mean the older child of yours had a garage sales price tag on his little brother? Here, take him. He's free. You know, it's important to make your sale easy to find. So create directions with create signs with directions to your sale and use large, bold, black letters on a white or a neon-colored sign for the best visibility. And make sure the sign is big enough for people to read as they drive by.
Yeah, I agree with you. Too many times you drive through the neighborhood and they have in script, you know, garage sale. And you almost have to stop your car to see where it is.
Written in pencil.
Yes.
Well, when you're working on it on a table, it looks big. But when you put it on the side of a road, it doesn't look that big anymore.
Well, the idea is to take it and put it 20 feet away. Can you read it?
Yeah.
While you're going 20 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you. Because if they can't find you, they're not going to show up.
Yeah.
So make sure there's directions with arrows pointing toward your house. Post them on the main streets in your area. Be sure it's easy to read from the car. And remember, what looks large on your table is really small when you're sitting in a car going 20 miles an hour.
And what has more impact? Moving sale, garage sale, estate sale?
Estate sale sounds better to me.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like there's a lot there. And some
it's expensive.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know so much expensive, but there's some stuff, furniture.
Old, yeah. Antique. Yeah.
No, when I think estate sale, I think of like jewelry or stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if it's legal to.
I don't know that's yeah. A good question.
I don't think it matters as long as you can get people there because people are going to buy things. Yeah.
So you don't want to say junk sale.
No, you don't want to say junk. My leftovers. Stuff I threw away because my husband is out of town and he won't notice it for the next 5 years. How's that one sound? So presentation is everything when you're setting up for the garage sale. So make the stuff that you have, in addition to making your house easy to find, make the stuff you're selling easy to see. And keep all the like stuff together. So all the clothes should be together. All the garden equipment or yard tools should be in one area. Toys should be together. And tables are the best way to make the items easy to see.
But you've got to set up the tables so there's not so much stuff on them that the table's a mess just as soon as the first customer goes through it. Think about like when you went to the bargain basement department store at the end of the day and the...
It was just a pile of nothing.
Yeah, it's just a pile, you know, and stuff. You know, you don't want that to happen because people look at that and they'll walk away.
So try to find all the tables you could possibly use from your house. You know, card tables, if you have any, like of those 6-foot folding tables. Maybe you set up sawhorses with plywood mm-hmm. on top. Patio furniture, borrow tables from your neighbors and friends if they're not involved in the garage sale. And here's a good idea. Use the sturdiest tables for the breakable items mm-hmm. and keep those tables kind of pushed over to the side and maybe even up against the house or a fence to keep people from knocking the stuff over.
Or even in the garage, maybe.
In the garage, you know. Might be a good idea,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
If at all possible, have all your clothing on hangers because it's easier to look through clothing when it's on hangers. And try to find a garment rack or hang them from the top of your garage door, like the little lip on your garage door.
Yeah.
Because most shoppers don't want to go through piles or boxes.
Make it easy on your customers, you know. Use all those old newspapers and grocery sacks to wrap and bag the customers' purchases. You know, if they're buying glasswares and stuff like that, you don't want them to have it broken before they even get home.
That's a good idea.
You know, so if you've got clothes and you think people might want to try them on because they're really nice clothes, set up a shower curtain in a corner of your garage, and then they can go in there and they can actually try things on and not be out in the middle of the street trying to figure out how to try this on and not expose half their body.
Now, do you wash the clothes before you put them on display, especially those that may have been in a box for the last 2-3 years?
If they look clean, I wouldn't wash them if I knew they were stored. If I had worn them before the garage sale, I would definitely wash them. Or if they're torn, you know.
Oh.
I mean, people are going to buy stuff that's torn or ripped or dirty or stained.
Steve, you can't go mow the lawn and then throw your shirt on the table.
You know, Steve, you were talking earlier about the kids, and I think it's a great idea to have a table for the kids to look at toys, maybe a 10-cent table with, you know, little Hot Wheels or something on, just to keep the kids busy so that mom and dad can shop and the kids can be busy while they're looking around.
Well, the other thing the boys used to sell was coffee. We would have coffee for the people early
Oh, that's a great idea.
Well, that's good. Or lemonade a little bit later on.
We just had one of those pump things, whatever those gizmos are called.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And if the kids make it ahead of time and if they're responsible for manning it, they can get the profits from it.
Yeah.
Did you make them buy the coffee ahead of time?
No.
You bought the coffee for them. Good for you.
We're pushovers.
And here's another idea, Steve. You know, you can have a free table with items that are, you know, are already broken or they're missing parts. And just remember that your junk is somebody else's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to post signs that say as is or all sales final or something like that, so people don't come and knock on your door at 4 o'clock that afternoon and try to return something. At the end of the day, no matter how successful your garage sale is, you're probably going to have leftover stuff. Steve, you're going to drag it back into the garage?
No.
You don't want to drag it back into the garage because part of a garage sale is to cut the clutter. So before the sale, investigate charities where you can donate leftovers that are usable and in good condition.
And then before you go to the charity, and here's a key point, make a list of everything that you're giving them. Get a piece of notebook paper and you write it down. Be specific, because when you take it into the charity, make sure you get a receipt. Now, that receipt's not going to list everything that you donated. It's just going to be a time and a date and who the charity is. But if you staple that receipt that you get from the charity to the piece of paper that itemizes what you gave them, then when it comes tax time, you can go on a software app like It's Deductible or something like that. You can go through and list them all on there. You get the fair prices for it. It's a great way. Now, I know that, you know, with the new tax law changes, it's going to make that a little bit more difficult. So it depends on how much you're donating over the course of the year. But it's still a good thing to keep in the back of your mind.
So garage sales are a lot of work, especially if you're not used to holding them. And you're probably going to spend several hours organizing and pricing items, writing ads, getting everything together on the day of the sale. But after it's all over, hopefully you'll have a wad of cash instead of piles of unused stuff.
And you can free yourself from putting too much importance in all the stuff that you've accumulated.
Okay, now you're ready for that successful garage sale, and good luck. Now, if you'd like to share this podcast with a family member, a friend, simply let them know. They can go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and you'll see podcasts. They're available right now. Also, notes from today's show, also available right there. Just click the button that says podcast summary. And one other item I'd like to mention, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. On behalf of John and Evelyn, I want to thank you so much for listening. This has been Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.